This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the nation. And Grace Marie, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Greg. Always a pleasure.
Well, we may only be a few days away from a showdown vote on the Senate health care bill in the House of Representatives. They, to begin this process, need to pass the Senate bill as is before they can get to the fixes that they're promising to do. At this point, with relatively few undecideds at this point, what's likely to make their minds up? You've been around this legislative process a long time. What usually decides whether they go in one direction or the other?
You know, one of the nice things about politicians is that you can always count on them to act in their own best and self-interest. And I think that what's happening is that members of Congress realize that a vote for the Senate bill, and that's really what members of the House are being asked to do, is to vote for this toxic Senate bill that they hate, is absolutely going to be a career-killing vote. They're being asked to take the fall. You know, they're at the edge of the cliff, and they're being told, you want to jump or shall we push you? But either way, they're taking the fall for the president to achieve what he considers to be his signature domestic policy agenda. Even though this health reform bill is, the more people learn about it, the more they don't like it. 3-1 opposition right now. And yet they're continuing to march forward and jam this bill through. If House members have to understand that this bill, a new study out today shows that if they vote against it, they could very likely save their seats. If they vote for it, they are almost sure to lose. So that's the dilemma. There's tremendous pressure on House members this week to vote for this bill. And yet their own interest suggests to them they're better off voting against it.
Now, Grace Marie, I know the process is more complicated than when the Senate put their version of this together, but those who held out seem to get some pretty good deals. Some would call them bribes. Others would say unsavory type of legislation, like the Cornhusker kickback and the Louisiana Purchase. Are some House members holding out for that, or is this process, the way it's set up right now, not likely to pan out for them that way?
You know, it's really interesting because a lot of things are, there's really a tectonic shift right now, because that's always the way in the past that the leadership has gotten members to vote for a particular bill. They put it something in it. The member is not looking at the big picture. They're not looking at the whole buffet. They're just looking at the one item that they want on the table. And that's Ben Nelson with the Cornhusker kickback, the Louisiana Purchase with Senator Landrieu, the Gatorade, the special treatment for Medicare Advantage in Florida. I mean, those things bought votes. And yet, that is the thing that has really incensed the American people, because they're saying, if you have to buy votes, it must not be a very good bill to start with. If they try that, I think they're going to wind up with even more pushback.
Well, let's talk about process a little bit. I know one of the things you wrote on last week was this proposal put forward through House Rules Committee Chairwoman Louise Slaughter, by which Democrats would technically not be voting for the bill. They would be voting for the fixes, and by default approving the bill at the same time they approve the fixes. From what we heard late in the week, the Senate parliamentarian said that wouldn't fly. So is that deal dead?
Well, yeah, no, they're still trying to do this. I mean, if this is straight out of Dickens, right? You've got the Slaughter strategy. I mean, what are they going to do to him in November if they try this? Named after Representative Louise Slaughter, a Democrat from New York, who's chairman of the House Rules Committee, who's devising this mechanism to get the Senate bill through the House. No, they could not possibly get the majority of 216 votes in the House right now, because there have been some deaths and resignations. So 216 is now the majority number. They can't get 216 votes to pass the Senate bill through the House. And so they've got this nutty idea that's called deeming, that the House would pass a bill that includes the fixes that it wants to the Senate bill, and then would deem that the Senate bill then passed alongside it, kind of automatically. But the Senate parliamentarian has said that the Senate bill has to be signed by the president before the Senate can start its own process of fixes. And so you've got huge, huge parliamentary and technical complications to getting this done, not the least of which is there's an editorial in today's Wall Street Journal by a professor at Stanford Law School who says it is unconstitutional to do this, because you've got to have the exact same bill passing the Senate and the House in order to be able to have the president sign it into law. Well, that wouldn't be the same bill because the two bills would be attached and passed as one. That's a different bill. And then trying to get that through the Senate is going to be extraordinarily difficult. So they've got serious problems on their hands, not only in getting the number of votes they need. We hear today they're at least 25 short, which is a lot, and that they also are trying all these parliamentary maneuvers, which are very likely to be challenged as unconstitutional.
Back up, Grace Marie, 25 votes short.
We have about 191 vote yeses, and it's because members are seeing they don't trust the Senate. They don't trust the Senate, and they shouldn't, to fix the problems that they have with the Senate bill. That's what they're being promised. We've got an ironclad guarantee that the Senate is going to fix everything that you hate about its bill. Well, after the Senate bill is passed the House, signed into law by President, what on earth incentive does the Senate have to go through the incredible, torturous process to make changes that the House wants to its own bill after it's already signed into law? So members are starting to say, wait a minute, can I really trust the Senate? Which, by the way, we've already sent 300 bills over to them this year that they have not, or this Congress, that they've not acted on. Why are they going to act on this one and send it through quickly without any changes and guarantee it's going to get done? It's not going to happen. And members are starting to say, I don't trust the Senate, and they shouldn't.
Grace Marie, if they can't put together the 216 by the end of the week, does this die? Does it get put on the back burner? What happens?
You know, Rahm Emanuel was the master in the Clinton administration of the take it small approach. You know, school uniforms, money to hire policemen. They could go back and do this. They could get bipartisan support if they scale it back, do something small. And Republicans want to have their signature on something that they've done. They want to be bipartisan. They still have time to do this, and there's a political incentive for both of them to do it. If they come back, try something small. A 2,700-page bill is not going to fly whether it's Republicans or Democrats writing it. And they've got to figure out that they could succeed if they go back and do a smaller incremental bill that gets something started. The White House knows that. The political advisors of the president know it. But there is such a determination to do the whole thing that they are going for broke, and they're very likely to leap off a cliff.
Last 30 seconds, Grace Marie, given what you just said about them going for broke, but at the same time apparently being perhaps as many as 25 votes short. If you and I talk a week from now, what's going to be the status of this bill?
Man, I don't know. I'm a policy person. That requires a political crystal ball. I'm telling you, if you start to see members of Congress walking around in casts, you know that their arms have been broken. They have so many tricks that they can pull to get their last votes. If it gets down to 3 or 4 votes, I think they'll get it. If it stays at 25, if 25, 30 members still say they can't vote for this, then I think that they're going to have to go back and go to Plan B. We'll still get health reform legislation, just not this.
Grace Marie, fascinating to watch. We'll see what the outcome is later this week. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.